ようこみましょうへようこそ。
We're back with another episode of the Yoko Miwa Show, and the last time we kind of ended on a cliffhanger, which was you going to see a movie and hearing a jazz tune and kind of immediately connecting with that music and deciding to find out more about it. And you said when we ended last time that the first things you heard were, I think your words were, kind of easy listening stuff, just like, you know, a lot of singers and that kind of thing. How did you figure out what to listen to next? Did you have somebody to go to and say, hey, tell me what to listen to?
That's a good question. Yes, I didn't know what to pick. So I actually, there were a bunch of CD rental stores in Japan back then. They don't exist anymore, but I went one of them, the store, and I asked the one of the clerks working there. And so I want to learn some jazz, especially piano. So could you recommend me something? So I think he recommended me some of the CDs. I remember two of them. One is The Amazing Bud Powell, and
wow.
another one is Maiden Voyage by Herbie Hancock.
Well, that was pretty lucky, because I mean, I don't think if you go into the average CD rental store that the clerk is going to have any idea what to recommend to you, but those are two great recommendations.
I know. I guess he listened to jazz, right?
Apparently.
I know. But unfortunately, I went home and I listened to them and I didn't like it at all. I couldn't understand, because I never really listened to, you know, this kind of jazz, right? Maybe my mom was listening to like Nat King Cole or,
sure,
you know, something like the more easy, and I was trying to listen to more easy stuff too. So then all of a sudden I was listening to Bud Powell and Herbie Hancock. I was like, what is this? And I tried to understand, but I couldn't take it, so I had to turn it off. So I thought that's funny. But, you know, when I teach at Berklee College of Music, right, I teach a lot of piano students. And I understand some of my students, they say some of the jazz voicings, they don't like it. They say, like, I don't know, it's weird. It's not like a classical music. Of course, it's very different. So I'm come from, you know, studying classical music too. So I totally understand how they feel, you know, when start learning jazz. So then after
you listened to the Bud Powell and the Herbie Hancock records, and you decided, no, not yet.
No.
So then what happened?
And then actually I thought I need a teacher, of course. And that's what I was thinking anyway. So I asked my mom, I want to take a lesson, and she told me yes. But, you know, actually she knew, she had a friend, her friends knew one of the best jazz pianists in Japan, and his name is Minoru Ozone.
Oh, yeah.
He's the father of Makoto Ozone. He's a pretty well-known jazz pianist in the world. But I didn't know anything about them. So I was really lucky, you know, my mom just happened to know, you know, her friends, she knew, you know, Makoto and Minoru Ozone, very famous jazz pianist.
How did she know them?
I don't know. I guess she was just friends with him. And
like she ran into them in the grocery store one day and they start. I know people meet other people. I know that happens every single day in the world, but it's just odd. Like it's a crazy coincidence that one of the most useful people she could possibly know, she happened to know.
I know. It's weird, right?
Yeah. Your mom's pretty cool.
She's cool. Yes. My mom. Yeah, I know. What I was going to say. Oh, Minoru, the father, you know, the pianist, Minoru Ozones, he was very well known musician back then, because he used to play on the TV show, like late night show.
Okay.
Like Tonight Show, kind of the show, and he played organ, Hammond organ, B3 organ on the show every night, or, you know, every weekend. And that's what people knew about him from TV show. But I had no idea. So I just, you know, even I don't think my mom knew him much. But I went to see him, and he had music school.
Okay.
Yes, and a lot of teachers working there and teaching, you know, classical piano, or, you know, singers there, and a lot of, you know, the music school. But he teaches piano there, for jazz piano. And I went to see him, and I had no idea if he can teach me or not, because I didn't know anything about jazz. But he was very nice, and, oh, sure, I can teach you. Also, I want to ask you something. I said, what? He said, I have a jazz club, and I need waitress there. And can you work as a waitress also? I said, of course, you know, because I always needed to do some, you know, part-time job. And I thought it's perfect. And that was amazing.
This is a slightly strange story, and I'm really enjoying it. Every piece of this story is just a little weird, and I really like it.
No, but I think it meant to happen.
Yeah.
So, and his club was, he lived in my city, Kobe. So that's, you know, the very lucky thing. He lived there. His family lived there. So everything, you know, was very lucky. I met him. But I lived in the same city. And his club was center of Kobe. It's not too big. It's very, cozy jazz club. He had the grand piano and center of the room. And around the grand piano, there's a table attached to, like a bar attached to grand piano. And
so did he have full bands in there, or
yes,
was it okay?
Yes, he was playing with band every weekend, like Friday, Saturday, Sunday, something like that. And I used to work there Friday or Saturday, maybe two nights. I worked there at least 4 years as a waitress. And I think that was really amazing experience I had, because, you know, not only making money, I can hear his playing, and, you know, his band playing every week. And so I learned a lot from, you know, listening too.
Yeah, I've heard interviews with a few famous comedians who started out as like waiters or dishwashers or door people in comedy clubs, and said it was an amazing education because they essentially got to go to this school for free, you know, hearing these professionals every single night, which sounds like your story.
Yes, definitely. And I will talk about his lesson later, but anyway, sometimes he told me to come up to the stage to play whatever I've been learning. So that was great too.
Like, wow.
I know. I was so nervous. They're like, oh, don't call me now. But he's like, just come here and play, you know. And also another thing was Makoto, his son. Makoto stops by sometimes. He was really busy, but, you know, around that time, he was touring and traveling all the time. He wasn't in Japan most of the time. But sometimes he comes back to Kobe, and then he stopped by at his club. And wow, he's here. So he plays sometimes by himself or with band. And the best part was father and son, you know, Mino and Makoto, they played together. That was the best part.
On the same piano or on two pianos?
They have, no. So Minoru, he plays B3, right?
Oh, okay.
On the organ. So he had B3 and piano, both.
Cool.
So he plays both. So Makoto, of course, he plays B3 Hammond organ also. So they switch, you know, the instruments and they play together piano and organ.
Oh, I didn't know that Makoto played B3. I've only ever known him as a piano player. I don't think I've ever heard him play B3.
No, I know. He can play.
Cool.
Yeah, I don't think he recorded any, like a B3 recording, right? Album. But Makoto's father, Minoru, told me once Makoto was like 3 years old, and Minoru told Makoto, like, okay, I'm going out, but don't touch my organ, okay? Don't, because, you know, it's an expensive instrument and it's a little complicated. And okay. But of course, when he came back, it was, you know, on.
Of course.
So actually, he started as an organ player, Makoto. When he was 6 or 7 years old, he was already touring, playing organ. That was his thing.
Wow.
And then eventually he switched to jazz. Piano, yes. But it started from organ, yes.
So what years are we talking about, by the way, that you're working at this club and studying with Minoru?
This is 1999.
Okay.
Yes.
Is when you started?
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. And so his lesson, so first time I went to his lesson, he said, okay, I will play something for you. So basically he recorded, he played tenderly. He played whole song from the melody, improvisation, and the melody again, you know, just a basic format of jazz piece. And I had no idea what he was playing, but he recorded on tape. And he gave it to me. Then, you know, after that, he said, also very simple melody and chords chart.
Had you ever heard the song before?
No, I didn't know anything.
Because, like, I know, I mean, Nat Cole has a very famous version of that. So I thought if you'd been listening to Nat, that maybe you would have.
I might have in the house. Yeah. Maybe my mom was listening. But at that point, I didn't know. I said, okay. And he said, all right, so you learn this by ear, don't write down, you know, just listen to it and copy what I played as much as you can. Let's see how much you can by next time I see you, you know. And I was like, okay. But I look at the chart, I have no idea, like C7 and then, you know, G7 and or flat 9, and it's, you know, I have no idea. He said, don't worry about it, just listen. So I went home and I recorded the piece he recorded so many times in the other cassette tape, you know, just a cassette tape, no CD, cassette tape, like 60 minutes tape. So I can played his.
Oh, so you copied the recording he gave you.
Yeah.
Just over and over again. You had one tape with the same thing over and over. Okay.
Yes, exactly. So I can listen to all day long wherever I go to, with my Walkman, in a train or house, or when I'm sitting down at home, whatever. I try to listen again and again and again and again, maybe like 1 week. And then, okay, now I think I know the song, how it goes. And I sat on the piano. But I never played jazz before, so I had to learn just a couple notes at this, you know, at the time.
Sure.
So, ba-da-da-dum. So, okay, stop there. So, play the piano. Ba-da-da-dum. And so I have perfect pitch. So listening and copying is not hard so much. But chords, a lot of notes at once.
Yeah.
It's kind of.
Because you're figuring out both the melody and also the chords at the same time.
Right. But actually, it wasn't that hard. The hardest part was the feel, swing feel, which I never played before.
Sure.
So copied everything, the way he played, you know, the swing feel, like, ba-dum, like I was like, what is this? Ta-dum, you know, like 10 times in the same phrase, just tiny, small phrases. And then, okay, I got the one major phrase and rewind and then play again to the next measure and, okay, learn next measure. So I, you know, basically little by little, I learned and then memorized the whole thing in 2 weeks. And I went back to his lesson and I played it for him from the beginning to the end. I think pretty much I copied 100%.
And did that include the solo?
Yes, everything.
Okay.
Everything. It was hard to memorize everything, but I spent so much time, like, you know, many hours and every day, whenever I have time, I just, you know, concentrate and then try to memorize every note he played from the beginning to the end. So, and I showed it to Minoru, and he was really surprised. He was like, wow, you memorized the whole thing. So,
wow.
Liked it.
Well, I think that's a great place to stop. I think my guess is that there are going to be more Minoru stories, but I think that's a perfect place to stop. And as we do on every show, we always like to end with one of your pieces. And have you got one picked out for us this time?
Okay. How about La Estación? This is this means station or seasons in Spanish. I was originally thinking like station, but somebody told me, oh, this La Estación also means seasons. So I like both meanings. So
yeah.
I cannot pick each meaning. So La Estación, this is from my third album, Canopy of Stars.